Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from this morning's epistle for the Sunday of the Passion. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is God's word. On a given Sunday morning, when we have these readings that are printed on the back of our bulletins, like this morning we have this super long, almost two whole chapters of Mark. We find these long readings or these readings from Scripture, but we're kind of missing the context in which they're written. For example, we have this epistle from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It's written by St. Paul. We know it's written to the Philippian church. But Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. And the question that begs to be asked is, what mind? And so it's always best to illuminate Scripture by kind of looking at the context, finding what scenario Paul is writing these words within. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So if you want to know what mind Paul is talking about, just back up a few verses and read what it says. Here's what comes before our text that's not printed in our bulletin. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is talking about. Humility. Count yourselves more significant than others. Look not only to your own interests, look to the interests of others. It's a call to humility. Something by and large, our world, our culture, and sadly in many regards, the church has forgotten. The call to be humble people, to be practicers of humility is all throughout Holy Scripture. A few examples. In Deuteronomy, before Moses is about to lead the people into the promised land, Moses says to the people, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. In the book of Proverbs, believed to be written by King Solomon, these words of wisdom for we and how we as God's people should live our lives, it writes, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. The prophet Micah, the words of the Lord to the people of Israel. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Paul is repeatedly talking about humility, which makes sense because the name Paul actually means humble. Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness. And in Colossians 3, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And lest you think that was something that only Paul was doing in the time of the early church, Peter did it too. 1 Peter 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. being humble, practicing humility, putting others ahead of yourself, lowering yourself so that someone else might be above you. And you know what? Sinful people oppose humility. We make ourselves the center of our own world. That very first commandment that God gave to Israel when he said, "You shall have no other gods." The God we have the biggest problem with isn't Buddha or Allah or Vishnu or some other god of another religion. Our worst god is ourselves. We think of ourselves first and foremost routinely. It's not even so much money or sex or jealousy or these other things that become pet sins of ours. Ultimately, it's idolatry. Me, myself, and I, our unholy trinity. God says, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. God says, how can I serve others? We say, how can I serve myself? What's in my best interest? Call it narcissism, putting ourselves first. The world's caught on to that. Put your pleasure, put your own happiness, put your own best interest ahead of everything else. If you don't believe that the culture has grabbed onto that as well, consider what some of the most important and popular and well-received technology in the world is called. I have in my pulpit with me this morning an iPad, iPhone, iPod, me. God doesn't ask you to humble yourself just to give him all glory, laud, and honor, as we sang this morning, even though he certainly deserves it. He tells you to humble yourself for the sake of your neighbor. Martin Luther once said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. And that's why he commands them. I invite you to consider, what are the needs of your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who is the person around you, the person you encounter day to day? Think about your attitude towards your fellow Christian. Think about the attitudes in your heart right now toward your spouse or your children or your parents or your boss or coworker, even the people sitting around you this morning. Have you judged them in your heart? Have you put yourself above them, considering yourself more self-righteous than that other person here this morning, than that person in your family, or the person that you know? It's not just lack of humility. It's idolatry. Me first, my feelings, that's what runs the show. Today and into this week, we now conclude the season of Lent and its call to repent. Repentance is a call to humility, to humble yourself, to turn away from yourself and toward your neighbor, and especially towards the one who humbles himself for you. Paul writes, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the one rightly hailed as a king on Palm Sunday, sets aside his reign, sets aside his glory, sets aside the equality with God that is rightly his because he is God himself. And he empties himself. He sets aside his power and his glory. He humbles himself. He puts the needs of mankind first. He puts you first. He's obedient. He does the will of his Father. He does these things for you. Selfish, arrogant, disobedient children that you are and that I am. His passion, his suffering, his death are for you. If there are two words for you to take with you this week into Holy Week and into beyond, it is those two words: for you. He rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey for you. He's arrested, put on trial, beaten, bloodied, and whipped for you. Nailed to a cross, hung to suffer and die for you. Laid, beaten and bloodied and dead into a tomb for you. And now he calls you to kneel. God has highly exalted him, Paul writes, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God calls you to kneel before his Son. But he doesn't call you to kneel like a slave, to lock you in chains and put you to work in brutal service for the rest of your existence. He calls you to kneel right here, to receive his body and blood. Because that is the type of king he is. He doesn't call you to kneel to force you into obedience. He calls you to kneel to receive his love, his forgiveness, and the peace that passes all understanding. And that's why he's exalted. The one that was exalted by the crowds on Palm Sunday is exalted again. He is exalted as a king once again to be the type of king who serves you. That's why he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I'm reminded of that every time I'm on Facebook or social media or the news, or turn on CNN or Fox News or whatever is being told, you hear about the profound and utter disappointment people have in their leaders. People complaining about the omnibus spending bill of this past week. People don't like one party, they don't like the other party. They don't like the lack of gun control laws. They don't like the attacks on gun rights. They don't like this, they don't like that. Our leaders obviously let us down routinely. But what makes Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords is that he, without fail, goes to a cross, allows the nails to be driven into his hands and into his feet, and gives himself for you. How do we become the type of humble people that God calls us to be? We learn it here at the foot of the cross, where our King serves us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Do you want to learn to show humility to your neighbor, to not put yourself first? Then learn it from the one who is humble, always humble. for you. Mocked by the chief priests and the scribes, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Unlike any other king. The exaltation that was given to him was given to him when he was on a cross. They mocked him by calling him a king. And yet he hangs there for you. Come and learn humility here at the foot of the cross this week during Holy Week. Thursday, on Holy Thursday, and Good Friday, and especially on Easter Sunday. See what our Lord has done for you. The one who empties himself. The one who humbles himself. The one who's always obedient to his Father. The one exalted, even on a cross, for you. He's exalted there on his cross to pour out his gifts for you, that you would be exalted as well. So even in the midst of our call to humility, our God promises that he will exalt us as well. When we reign with Christ the King in glory forever, having received everything that he gives for you and for me. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.